Laudator Jesus Christus. Vatican and World News.
In the headlines this Saturday, April the 26th, Pope Francis is laid to rest in a simple tomb in the Basilica of St. Mary Major. In his homily at the Requiem Mass, the Dean of the College of Cardinals pays tribute to Francis, a shepherd of the people. And 150,000 people line the streets of Rome to bid their last farewell to their bishop on his final earthly journey. In the Vatican, I'm Linda Bordoni. Over 200,000 people from all walks of life poured into St. Peter's Square and the adjacent areas on Saturday morning to bid their final farewell to Pope Francis at his Requiem Mass. The solemn and moving celebration was presided over by Cardinal Giovanni Battista Re, the Dean of the College of Cardinals, joined by some 250 cardinals, patriarchs, archbishops, bishops, priests, and consecrated religious. Attending the celebration were also official delegations from over 100 nations and international organisations, 55 heads of state, 12 royals and 14 heads of governments, and other high state officials, along with religious leaders and delegations from Christian churches and other religions. In his homily, the Cardinal delved into the many highlights of Pope Francis's prophetic and intense 12 years of pontificate, marked by his style of closeness to the people and spontaneity of his gestures until the very end, but most importantly, by his deep love for the church, which he wanted open to everyone. Lisa Zingarini reports.
Thanking all those present and extending his greetings to the numerous official delegations from across the world attending the Mass, Cardinal Re started his homily by noting that the outpouring witnessed in this week of mourning tells us a lot on how much Pope Francis touched minds and hearts of many people.
Noi siamo qui numerosi a pregare.
Referencing the Gospel passage where Christ charges Peter with shepherding his flock, the Cardinal remarked that despite his frailty and suffering towards the end, Pope Francis chose to follow this path of self-giving until the last day of his earthly life. He recalled how his decision to take the name Francis immediately appeared to indicate the pastoral plan on which he wanted to base his pontificate, seeking inspiration from the spirit of Saint Francis of Assisi. With his pastoral leadership and through his resolute personality, said Cardinal Re, he immediately made his mark on the governance of the Church.
È stato un papa in mezzo alla gente.
He was a pope among the people, with an open heart towards everyone, especially the marginalized, but also a pope attentive to the signs of the times and what the Holy Spirit was awakening in the church. With his characteristic vocabulary and language, he always sought to shed light on the problems of our difficult times with the wisdom of the gospel. Evangelization, Cardinal Re explained, remained central to his vision. His image of the church as a field hospital characterized the church actively engaging with the world's wounds. His outreach to migrants and refugees, exemplified by the visits to Lampedusa, Lesbos, and the US-Mexico border, was deeply symbolic of his solidarity with the suffering. Cardinal Re also highlighted Pope Francis' relentless emphasis on mercy and his persistent advocacy for a culture of encounter against the prevailing throwaway culture. His call for human fraternity underscored his desire for global solidarity and peace. Environmental stewardship, expressed in the encyclical Laudato Si, Cardinal Re continued, further widened the scope of his moral leadership, stressing the interconnectedness of all creation and our shared responsibility for the planet.
Ha elevato la sua voce, implorando la pace.
In times of global violence and war, Pope Francis' voice stood out as one of peace, always insisting that war is a defeat for humanity. The homily closed on a tender note, invoking the familiar words with which Pope Francis always ended his audiences and meetings: "Do not forget to pray for me."
E chiediamo, ti chiediamo.
With applause rising from those present, Cardinal Re said that now, as Pope Francis rests in God's embrace, the faithful reverse that request, asking their beloved Pope to intercede for the Church, for Rome and the whole world from heaven. I am Lisa Zingarini.
And following that Mass at 1 p.m, the rite of the burial of Pope Francis's casket began. The rite was done in private and was presided over by the Cardinal Camerlengo, Kevin Farrell. It concluded half an hour later. Francesca Merlo tells us more about the Pope's final pilgrimage from St. Peter's Basilica to St. Mary Major, where he now lays to rest.
After a solemn but beautiful Mass, Pope Francis's mortal remains made their way across the Eternal City to his final resting place, the Basilica of St. Mary Major. 150,000 people lined the streets to bid a final farewell to Pope Francis, the most Roman Argentine Pope the Church has ever seen. He visited remote Italian parishes without announcement, and today he made his final pilgrimage through the city. The Pope, just on Sunday, the day before he died, had driven around the square in his Popemobile, similar to the hearse carrying him today, where he, perhaps unknowingly, or perhaps not, said goodbye to the faithful. He travelled through the ancient ruins of Rome, past the monument to the fallen soldiers, this Pope, the world's advocate for peace, past the ancient Roman Forum and the Colosseum, where his beautiful meditations for the Via Crucis, denouncing the economy of indifference plaguing our world and calling for an economy of peace, had been read out just 1 week ago. Then up to the Basilica of St. Mary Major. The atmosphere changed completely when the coffin reached the basilica, as the crowd realized that this really was the final goodbye. But Pope Francis, too, had a final goodbye to give. First, to the people, as his coffin was raised and positioned facing the people lining the streets, who echoed his goodbye with an applause. Then, inside the basilica, when the coffin was held up for a few moments before the Pauline Chapel, as the Pope saluted one last time the icon of Mary Salus Populi Romani before being interred next door. We can be sure that the two of them will never stray too far from one another, neither on earth nor in heaven. I'm Francesca Merlo.
And with his burial in the Basilica of St. Mary Major, Pope Francis became the first pope in more than 120 years not to be buried in St. Peter's Basilica. Historian Donald Prudlow, the Warren Professor of Catholic Studies at the University of Tulsa in the United States, spoke with Vatican Radio about the significance of Pope Francis's decision to be buried in St. Mary Major.
A lot of times, the choice is meaningful, right? It represents significance beyond itself. Sometimes it presents a witness. For instance, Pope St. Gregory VII is buried in Salerno because he had opposed the designs of a German emperor who was trying to interfere in the papacy. And when he died, he said, "Because I've loved justice and hated iniquity, I die in exile." And so even the place of interment can be a symbol of the papacy. This particular choice by Pope Francis is a very powerful one. It reassociates the Catholic Church with devotion to the Virgin Mary. It shows his closeness to the Roman people in his devotion to the Salus Populus Romani icon. And it reinforces the idea that it's not necessary that the popes be buried at St. Peter's, which, after all, isn't even their cathedral, which is St. John Lateran. It simply becomes the shrine. And choosing to be buried at St. Peter, a depositio ad sanctos, being buried near the bones of St. Peter itself, is also a very strong statement, a statement of the unity and the perpetuity of the Petrine line.
And that was historian Donald Prudlow, Warren Professor of Catholic Studies at the University of Tulsa in the United States, speaking there to Christopher Wells. Among the many groups that travelled to Rome from around the world for Pope Francis's funeral was a group of teenagers from two Portuguese parishes. Their reflections captured the Pope's unique ability to inspire and connect with young people. Maria Helena Sequeira reports asked them about their thoughts and impressions of the late Pope.
Many were the faithful that came to Rome to witness Pope Francis' funeral. Among them, groups of youngsters that this weekend also celebrated their jubilee. Margarida, a Portuguese 13-year-old, was present this morning in St. Peter's Square with her friends from the Ericeira and Carvoeira parish and was eager to share her testimony.
I think he was a very kind pope. I think he made so many good things to our world and that help our faith. And I also think that he changed so much ideas that before that was like things that wouldn't talk about.
Maria followed her friend's steps and emotionally shared the image she cherishes of the Holy Father.
He's a kind person and gentle, and he likes to talk with people, and I think this is good.
When asked about her prayers to the Pope, now in heaven, Margarida remembered the many countries at war and asked that the Holy Father continues to guide and support them.
Help the countries that are in war and help the people there. Maybe go to some countries that are more needing help and give some faith, maybe. So I think he could be there to help the people.
I am Maria Elena Sequeira.
Cardinal Vincent Nichols, Archbishop of Westminster, agrees that Pope Francis had that capacity to interact personally and directly with all sorts of people. We conclude this sad broadcast today with Cardinal Nichols' recollections of his personal encounters with Pope Francis.
My memories of Pope Francis will always centre around his face. He was a man who always radiated a joy with a smile. I mean, he was very serious sometimes. It wasn't as if he was always like that. But when he was meeting people or there was, you know, a discussion, he would always make sure that there was a sense of joy, almost at times a sense of fun in what he had to do and what he was going to do. And I think the other thing that strikes me was that he always wanted to convey and reinforce a sense of hope in people's lives. I think no matter what difficulties anybody we got into, he would want us to be looking beyond that, understanding that God's mercy was there, understanding that there was a step that we could take. And as long as it was a step closer to the Lord, closer to what he wants of us, then that's the next step to take. I think his joy was as kind of like a child of his faith. It wasn't joy or optimism for its own sake. It was an opening up of that first relationship that we have with Christ.
And that was Cardinal Vincent Nichols, Archbishop of Westminster, speaking there to Dorota Abdelmoula. And that brings us to the end of this edition of Vatican and World News. Join us tomorrow at the same time for more. Meanwhile, please go to vaticannews.va for updates regarding the Sede Vacante. And you remember you can follow all events live with English commentary there, as well as on Facebook and YouTube. My thanks go to Alberto Giovannetti in studio in the Vatican. I'm Linda Bordoni. Bye-bye.